off. It's one more thing.
Armstrong and Getty.
One more thing.
You know, it's weird. I'm looking at my two computer screens here, and they're advertising the same woman's blouse to me. Number one, I don't wear any women's blouses whatsoever.
So you say. You doth protest too much.
And number two, it's the same one. That's interesting. Huh. Well, I'll be damned. Sean, just a quick cautionary tale before we get to the meat of the thing. 43-year-old Simon Shanks, a champion video gamer, found dead, still clutching his Xbox controller after an all-night session. Found slumped on his sofa in front of his screen.
How old?
43.
What was his score and or did he win? That's my question.
Did he just have a heart attack? Because he can have a heart attack doing anything.
And he was sitting still on the sofa. His friend went upstairs to bed, came down 11 hours later. That's a good sound sleep. Found Simon dead. At his home. He's sponsored, too. He's wearing his T-shirt with his sponsors and everything.
Well, how good do you have to be to get sponsored, Sean?
You have to have a decent amount of traction already to do that. But what this does, if I dug deeper, I wouldn't be surprised if he was doing one of these. So in the stunt economy of getting internet views, one of the common things for live streamers to do is, all right, we're pulling out. We're doing a 24-hour stream, everybody, and kind of do. I am on camera, live streaming, whatever, gaming, doing
and
whatever
so,
it is.
So
I
you
do.
Can just like check in whenever you want, see if they're still doing it. Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah, and you know, people fall asleep during streams and chatting. You know, there's various
yeah,
reasons
I
why
could
this.
I see my brother or my brother. Which one is the one that came from my mom or my son? I could see my son getting into this. Like if Beck Bro Jack was doing a 24-hour, keep
yeah.
checking back in to see if he's still at it.
So if he was attempting to do one of those things, you know, that it's a sad story either way. But you know, I could see that being one of the activating.
Or you can have a heart attack doing anything.
His friend who found his corpse said he had not taken any drugs the night before, to his knowledge. Postmortem report found he had a thickening of the heart, while a toxicology report found therapeutic levels of prescribed medication, as well as levels of methadone, cocaine, and morphine.
So he had a bad heart and did drugs.
That's over the top. I mean, I find if I have a nice dose of methadone, some cocaine, I'm feeling good. Adding morphine to that is just, I don't know, it's crazy.
At what point do you know which is doing which?
Exactly.
Right. Know when to say when. A little coke and morphine, fine. Leave out the methadone. Come on.
So my end there off was the Kentucky Derby was this weekend. I never attended the Kentucky Derby, and I don't think I ever will. I don't have any desire to attend any big sporting event ever again in my life, really. But what's the biggest or coolest single sporting event you ever attended? Michelangelo, you first.
For me, it'd be one of the NBA playoff games.
What was the biggest one, the most exciting one that you are glad you're ever?
It was Kings versus Lakers.
Which one?
I think it was game six or something.
Weren't you at the infamous game six?
No, it'd be game five. Game five.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Game five. Game six was a ripoff, too.
Yes. Game five was the Bibby shot.
Yep.
Mine probably. The first time I walked into an NFL stadium, it was I was visiting my uncle in San Diego. He bought tickets from a scalper outside the stadium, and I thought, well, this is interesting. And then when I first walked in and saw what I had only seen on TV before in terms of just the field and how it looked, and it was almost assuredly the biggest crowd that I had ever
sure.
been in. Just the actual feeling of, oh, there's so many people. Look at this. And it was, they were playing against the Browns. I still remember this. They had a bunch of, my uncle was surprised that all, look at all these Browns fans. And somebody else made the joke, oh, they got sick of the winter or whatever. You know, they moved out.
Good times.
Probably classic San Diego sports fan humor.
Yeah.
And
I like your angle, though. You're going with it. It was the most impactful just because it was the first one and you're
a
kid.
It's the one I remember the most. A lot of the other ones all blend together.
Yeah. Of course, you've been in sports radio a lot, so you've been to a lot of big events.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would not have the same. If you get close to the business, it becomes less exciting. It becomes more of just a business.
Yeah, people get a little blasé.
Yeah.
I'd say for me, the biggest, definitely the Indy 500, which I really, really enjoyed. It's a long, exhausting day, but it's fun. And I wasn't a big car racing fan or anything, but it is an amazing spectacle, and the cars go so fast. I mean, it's the sounds and sights are cool, but my favorite was probably going to Game two of the National League Championship Series in, when was that, 1989? When it looked like the Cubs were going to the World Series for the first time in 105 years, I was at the second game where they beat the Padres. And they were up 2-0, and no team had ever gone up 2-0 and lost a five-game season until the Cubs did that year.
But because that was, of Mrs. O'Leary's cow or something, I don't remember
exactly
what the whole thing
Mrs.
was.
O'Leary kicked a goat. The goat bit Mayor Daley. He right. beat the Chicago 7. Mistook Ryne Sandberg for one of the hippies, and he couldn't hit anymore, as I recall.
Huh. So I was going to go with either Game 7 Lakers-Kings, which was an amazing thing to be. I mean, that was a great one of the great NBA showdowns, period, anyway, and the fact that I had such a rooting interest in one team. Packers 49ers at Lambeau when they were both like Super Bowl teams. Went to overtime. But it was just fantastic to be there. But Sean took me back to probably the most impactful. I had been to Major League Baseball games when I was a little kid. Because I was a little kid, I didn't quite get what was going on. I thought it was cool and everything like that, but I still didn't quite get it. Then I didn't go to another Major League Baseball game until I was like 16, when I fully understood what was happening here. And I had, is at Royal Stadium in Kansas City, and we had terrible seats. I mean, like, but the people are like ants. But still, yeah. The fact that that's freaking Reggie Jackson, right freaking there.
Right.
That's George Brett. I mean, it was just so mind-blowing to me, because I'm from the middle of nowhere. You do not see celebrities. You do not see anything like that in person. And the fact that I was seeing these actual human beings, even though they were so small, they could have been anybody, but I knew it was, you know, it's left field or...
Oh, and cheap seats in baseball are terrible because you can't see the ball.
Well, every pop-up looks like it's a home run. That's right. Part of sitting way up there. It's like, oh, my God! You know, it's pop-up
and
the
second baseman settles under it.
But, yeah, I think that was the most impactful. I mean, me and my friends, who had also never seen anything like that, we were all just, I can't believe, we'd still be saying it an hour later, I can't believe that's Reggie Jackson right there, we'd still be saying. So, yeah, it's terrible when that... That's like the innocence of youth, I guess, with all things. All things innocence of youth go away. It's just part of the deal. But, mm-hmm. You get a little older, and if you're connected and you make a little money, whatever, and then pretty soon you're sitting in front row seats for this and that, and you walk out halfway through the game because you got better things to do, and it's just never, it's not quite the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, most impactful, and I've told this story before, had to be the first time I went to a Major League Baseball game with my dad, because that's seared into my memory. Coming out of the concrete, what do you call it, the hallway, the giant hallway, concourse, at Wrigley Field, coming up the concrete steps and seeing that field in person for the first time. The grass was impossibly green. The bases were impossibly white. And seeing the guys in their gleaming white pinstriped uniforms is just amazing.
I think it was...
If I could be transported back to that moment, I might have a heart attack.
Wow.
At my current age.
I think it was at Wrigley Field where I did one of the most impactful things of my youth by telling my dad I needed to go to the bathroom. I'm probably 8 years old. Telling my dad I need to go to the bathroom and accidentally walking into the women's room instead of the men's room. And you wouldn't think it'd be that impactful, but because I was a shy kid who followed the rules and I'm in the big city, which I'm not used to, walking into the women's room and then looking around, where are the urinals? And it's all women looking at me. I was just so horrified, just deep to my soul. I can still picture that room like I saw it 5 minutes ago. I can picture the women that were in there. And it was all clothed. I didn't see anybody. But it was just, I was so horrified that I'd done something wrong. And I got back to the seat and I didn't tell my dad. And I was just sure they were going to announce it over the loudspeaker. The police are on the way to get the 8-year-old who just walked into the women's restroom. I was just sweating bullets and mortified. It's terrible.
Oh, man. Terrible. You probably couldn't enjoy the game for an hour and a half.
No, I was just waiting for the police to come apprehend me. Take me away to prison forever.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Edelman, there is a pervert in the park. Ark. We're asking your help in apprehending the young man who was perving out.
Did you have to hold it for the whole game, or did you
I don't remember what I did. I was too young to even have, you know, the idea of the pervert. It was just like, you don't do that. You don't go into the women's restroom. I'm a little kid. I made a mistake.
Hide behind the corner every time you see an usher come because you don't understand the level of authority that various people have.
Just because I'm thinking of it, one of my, it ended up being fine, but I wanted to go to Wrigley, Fenway Park. So I'd been to a lot of the great baseball stadium, and I'm in Boston, and there's a game that night, and I wanted to go to Fenway Park, and so I bought a ticket on the street. And which was fine. I just wanted to get in, as they call them. I just wanted to be able to say I'd been to Fenway Park. And, but it was behind
them. And mentioned casually that you'd parked your car by the harbor.
But I got a seat behind a pole, which I didn't even know existed at ballparks. It did at Fenway Park, where my legs were straddling a pole. The pole was the front of the seat, and you had to put your leg around it to sit on the seat with the pole in front of you. And you could either look on this side of the pole or that side of the pole. Who knew seats like that even existed?
The old-timey parks they did. Wrigley Field, if you're sitting on the lower deck toward the back, ball goes up in the air and disappears because the lower deck came or the upper deck came down far enough. You couldn't see it. And you'd see the guy settle under it, and you'd think, yeah, it looks like he's going to catch it. It was terrible. I sat in those like once and learned my lesson. What's the term on the ticket? Impeded view or partial view, something like that.
So do you think it? So my kids have not been to a professional baseball game or football game or NBA, anything like that yet. And they kind of want to go. Do I start up in the cheap seats where, like, as I just mentioned, it was unbelievable for me to be in those cheap seats?
Yeah, but you're a young baseball fan.
Do I get them better seats? But then they're jaded, and if we ever sit up further up, it's going to be...
I think Joe brings up an interesting point that since they are not already fervent about baseball the way that you were, the whole cheap seat things might be kind of a... It might be a tough sell if you wanted to do it again.
You're trying to make them fall in love. You were already in love. I was already in love, so I could have sat anywhere. Yeah, I would treat them close enough that you can hear the crack of the bat and see the guys scratching themselves.
Because, for legit, once you sit... with your feet on the court at an NBA game, it's pretty hard to sit way up high and think, why am I not just at home?
I would suggest starting minor league and scaling up to professionals, though.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. Yeah. We're gonna do a AAA game.
Why do you think they'd get the bends if you immediately went to the major leagues? I didn't know there were minor leagues when I went to my first Cubs game.
No, I didn't know either. But I like first of all because they're not into baseball. And I don't want it to be a complete waste of time to make the trek and expense to do Major League Baseball. If a half hour into it, they're both hating it. Go to AAA, it costs nothing, not much parking, get a hot dog, that sort of stuff.
Get the hot dog, follow it with the cotton candy, follow that with the ice cream, follow that with the popsicle. That's the way you get them hooked. And diabetes. That's how you get them diabetes.
So you convince them that the point of baseball is that you can eat any bit of crap that you want. The whole rule for eating crap goes out the window if you go to a baseball game. And that's how I get them on the hook.
Exactly. Whatever it takes.
So after years of going to baseball games, they'll be 400 pounds and still not have the slight. What, three strikes or not? That's new to me.
I don't actually understand a game.
Here comes the Cracker Jack guy again.
Tried to catch a hot dog with my mouth when they shot it at the crowd. Not a good idea. Got my sight back, though. Well, I guess that's it.